Now let me continue to read on here. Verse 4, he says that, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation." And this is the same word, afflictions. As I've said before, the church will not go through the great tribulation. It'll go through the little tribulation. We're all going to have a little trouble down here, and it's for a purpose. Why? "Even as it came to pass, and ye know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Now, the tempter here is none other than Satan, as we saw back in verse 18 of the second chapter. He says, "But Satan hindered us." Paul says he's given me a bad time, and I know he may be giving you a bad time over there. In other words, afflictions test the genuineness of the coin of belief. Someone has said that trouble is the acid that tests the genuineness of a coin of belief. You know, there are a lot of counterfeits, and there are a lot of counterfeit Christians. And the thing that will really reveal the genuineness of your faith is that whether you can endure trouble or not. Afflictions reveal a genuine believer, and this is the occasion of his rejoicing. Now he says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." You know, friends, that's quite wonderful that Paul got word from them, and the word was that it was a good report, and they were enduring trouble, and Paul now says to them, he's having trouble. "Therefore, brethren," this is verse 7 now, 1 Thessalonians 3, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." We live here means that as believers, we enjoy life. And "if" here is since. I think that we should know, since ye stand fast in the Lord, and even in trouble, you can enjoy it. And that's not easy to do, my friend. But Peter made that statement over in 1 Peter 4th chapter, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that shall try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Friend, you can't lose being a Christian, even if you have trouble. It's going to work out for your good. You can always be sure of that. My, how wonderful this is. Now he says here in verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" Joy is associated with life, and sorrow is associated with death. Sorrow increases a capacity of the heart, though, for joy. And my, that's what Paul is talking about here. I want you to rejoice. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. Now, Paul says here, look here, "night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." In other words, his labor in Thessalonica was very rudely interrupted. He's run out of town. And Paul says, "I would like to come and continue my teaching ministry." And friends, Paul wanted to teach the Word of God. He wanted to get the Word of God out. And that, to me, is the most comforting thought that I have in my own heart. I want to get the Word of God out, and I feel kinship for this brother here. The important thing, friends, is to get the Word of God out. It's not to keep the Through the Bible radio on the air. It's to get the Word of God out. That's the important thing, and if I quit giving it out, I hope the Lord will take me off there. Verse 11, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Oh, how Paul prayed, come unto them. Now he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What a wonderful thing this is here. You see, love is not affection. It seeks the welfare of another here. And that end was, love was not an end in itself, that they might develop a character of holiness. And here's a statement I've given you before. If you were tried in court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Because we're going to appear before him, and he's going to judge our works. Let me mention something else. It may terrify you, but let's mention it. He's also going to judge our character as believers. Now, this is to see whether we receive a reward or not. My Christian friend, what kind of life are you living today? That's important.